Generally, Father, thank you for this wonderful morning. The beautiful skies, the wind that we feel. Lord, I pray that we feel your presence here. I pray that we're not distracted, but we're embracing everything that you're involved in. Lord, may this morning be an opportunity for us to grow closer to you, to have fun, to have some fellowship, to have some games, to have an opportunity to make some new friendships. Lord, may we draw closer to each other and may we draw closer to you. This morning, as we give of our tithes and offering, heart of joy, may we understand that it is a blessing to be part of your church, a blessing to be part of your mission, to be a blessing to others. Lord, may we give with a heart of joy. Lord, as we prepare for the message, I pray that your word is spoken. I pray that we hear your message and that your message transforms lives this morning. We give you all the praise. Amen. Ushers. Pastor Ben, if you haven't met, I hope to meet you today. I've been here a little over 2.5 years, I believe. Maybe three, I don't know. I can't remember now, right? And this is, I believe, our second block party since I've been here. And it's already transformed. It used to be over there. Now it's over here. Next year we might be over in Brendan Gardens. Who knows? But this is an opportunity for our church to love on you, so you can have an opportunity to invite friends. We got food today, which it's on the house. We are taking donations, $10 for adults, $5 for kids if you want to. And all the proceeds of that money goes to help fund a new youth room. All right, so we got some opportunities there. So it's pretty cool. But our food is completely donated. And please hug on them, love on the people that are preparing for it. We truly appreciate them. First off, I also want to give a big shout out to Gloria Sangodolce. Would you stand? All right. And her team. Her team. All right, that includes Jerry. Anybody that has helped with this. They got this going. They got this up, and this event wouldn't happen without that team. All right? So it's awesome. This is our hope for this day, is that you find new relationships here at church, that you have a lot of fun, and you grow closer to God. That's it. We want you to have a good time. We want you to have an opportunity to grow closer to God. We also want you to have just fun and beat people at Nine Square, cornhole. I believe we're going to play some kickball, and there's going to be awesome food, right? So I'm excited about that. I hope you're excited about that. And this morning we're going to talk about who God is and what God is in these moments like this. Anybody kind of warm? A few hands, honest. Anybody just feel really good and comfortable? Wow. All right. A lot of hands. What I like is seeing everybody that's in the tent and crowded. I like seeing the crowd. And as I was preparing this message today, I started thinking about Luke 8 and a giant crowd that followed Jesus. Jesus before I get to the meat of what we're going to talk about today, I want to just give you a picture of what Jesus did. Jesus was in a boat. We've talked about it. He's been in storms. He calms the storms by just saying, no more, right? Amazing. Which I love the fact, first off, I know a lot of people have been praying for today's weather. It is beautiful. And it's October 1st. It is beautiful. It almost feels like the beginning of September, right? I know it's a God thing. So just knowing that, first off, right? And God can calm the storms of our life. He did that. The very next thing he did was he casted out a demon, right? He took demons out of this guy, right? And so all of a sudden, this following, these things are happening with Jesus. He's doing these miracles, right? And he comes to this town. And this crowd just embraces him. And this man, he's part of the synagogue, and he has a daughter who's dying. And he sits at the feet of Jesus, and he begs Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter. And he agrees, and he starts to go. And this crowd just forms around him. They want to see what happens. They want to be a part of it. It is just, it's so newsworthy. It is a mob around him that almost it's crushing him, right? And in the middle of this, we have this moment. And before I talk about this moment, I want to talk about what it is to be in those moments where it's awkward. Have you ever had a moment in your life that you're like, man, I never want to relive that again? Anybody? Oh, yeah. I've had multiple of those moments. In fact, I feel like I'm the king of those moments. And most of the times, it's happened on a stage in front of people. God has blessed me with a tongue that doesn't work sometimes. And I've said things that were not appropriate, not on purpose, all right? And God has blessed me with that, and I've had those awkward moments. And now we live in the world that everything is recorded, right? Now, I have been a youth pastor for over 20 years. Now I'm a senior pastor, and I'm loving it. But when I was a youth pastor, everything got recorded, and it got played over and over. Can you imagine reliving something that you did that was dumb and stupid, and it just be the butt of the joke for all the teens? It's fun. In fact, it became a ringtone for me. I would call, former teen, not funny, all right? I would call teens, and they would, that's what came up, was what I did on stage. And you can talk to Dory, Pastor Dory back there, and you can find out what I did. Some of you probably already know, but it lives with me, right? It was an awkward moment. I remember also, I've had my moments where you get dressed in the dark, and it's never good. Anybody else? And you walk out, and you're like, I can't do anything about these two different shoes that I have on. I'm just going to have to live with it, right? I've had those moments. I've lived in those moments. And in this moment that we're going to talk about today was an awkward moment. Jesus being in the middle of this crowd. And everybody was crowding. Everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. Everybody wanted to be around his actions. Everybody wanted to be embraced by Jesus. Wanted to see what was going to happen next. We kind of still live in that, right? We all want to see what's going to happen next. And Jesus was heading to this home, and it was an emergency. This little girl was dying. In the middle of this moment, this lady comes up and touches Jesus' cloak. And Jesus stops everything in this moment. And looks around and goes, who touched me? Now, let me give you a backstory with this lady. For 12 years, she had to deal with a medical issue that just was killing her. To a point that it changed her life. It changed how she could live. It changed how she was functioning day to day. It probably gave her depression. It probably gave her, like, there was no hope for where she was going because she was defined by this moment, this medical condition. She had lost all hope. And she was sitting in the middle of this crowd and knew and saw what Jesus was and totally believed if she could just touch his cloak, she could be healed. Now, I honestly believe she touched his cloak because she just wanted to be healed and didn't want to interrupt anything, wanted life to move on, right? And there's probably been moments in your life that you've decided, man, if I could just do this without anybody seeing and just to be helpful, or it can help me and life would be good. Have you ever had those moments you're like, man, I just want to do this. I have the answer. I have the question. I have these things. I wanted to speak up. I want to do, but I don't want to be noticed. Right? And it's kind of like this moment, like being in class and not having the answer, but being called up. There's been many a times I know the teachers know I'm not paying attention and call me to the carpet, right? Anybody else? Again, mostly just me. All right, sweet. Power. All right. This was one of those moments where this lady, she touches Jesus's cloak. And guess what happened? Completely healed. Probably has all the hope restored. It would be one of those moments like you're riding back home. You're like, and you're just overwhelmed with joy that you're just screaming from the rooftops with the windows open going, yes! That's so awesome to hear the echo. I'm a little nervous now. I don't want to frighten anybody over there. But just one of those moments you just can't contain yourself, probably on the way home, you're like, my life has changed. It's different. I'm not bound by the same circumstances I'm in. And I'm free. And wanting to have that private moment in the car, the ride home, just in your home, just celebrating, but not really wanting to do it in like this moment, going woo and jumping jacks from this moment, right? It'd be kind of weird. And it's not what she wanted to do. And Jesus stops the entire crowd, stops the crowd, looks at the people around him and goes, who touched me? And his disciples are like, hold on. Everybody is crashing around us. Probably all of us have touched you, Jesus. What do you mean? And he looked at him and he goes, no. I mean really touched. Like all my power went out of me. I could feel somebody being changed because they touched me. And this is the wild part. Like part of me, knowing that this story is going on, I wonder how I would react. And part of me goes, I just still sit there and go, okay, maybe you won't notice me. Maybe I can just keep walking on. Maybe the crowd will just absorb it and I can just keep going. But no, this lady felt the conviction and so sits at his feet and begs for his mercy and goes, it was me. And explains her condition to him. And he doesn't even, I don't even think he cared about the condition in this moment. He just looked at her and goes, you're my daughter. Your faith has healed you. Wow. And then the rest of the story is amazing because he was supposed to be on his way to go save this daughter of this synagogue person, of this like religious person. And he took a moment to stop what he was doing at the sake of this little girl. And when they got there, she was dead. And everybody was wailing and crying. And Jesus looked at him and goes, stop this crying. Stop this. This is pointless. She's just asleep. And he took her by the hand and said, get up. And I love this next part. I love it. Like, this is amazing. He looked at him and goes, she's going to need some food. She's going to be hungry. Like, I can just resonate, like, sleeping so much or just being dead tired or just dying. And the very first thing, she's going to need some food. She's healed. And what's amazing about all this is that Jesus can do anything. And this lady that was dealing with so much pain and agony and frustration, probably hopeless, desperate, just touched an article of clothing and was changed. And I want to talk about how that resonates with our world today. And how maybe as a church and as a follower of God, we need to be ready for that touch. We need to be ready for the people that are reaching out. We need to be ready for those who are asking the questions of where the hopeless are. When they go, why doesn't God love? Why doesn't God still do this? Where can I find hope? Where can I find a place where I belong? I was reading a great theologian. His name is Henry Newell. And he summed up our culture pretty well. He said, while efficiency and control are the great aspirations of our society. Well, let me repeat that again. While efficiency and control are the great aspirations of our society, the loneliness, isolation, lack of friendship, intimacy, broken relationships, boredom, feelings of emptiness and depression, and deep sense of uselessness fill the hearts of millions of people in our successful-oriented world. We live in a world that a lot of people are broken, but looks very, very successful from the outside. They're lonely, they're bored, they have no sense of what real life is about. And what the real shame of this is, I think they're waiting on us to touch their lives. They're waiting on us to show them that there's a hope, that there's a reason that we should be the most excited people in this world. Boredom shouldn't ooze from us. In fact, as we worship and celebrate, it should be the most wildest party because we know who saved us. We know the Creator. We read about Jesus and what He has done and all that He has done and what He has done for us. And He's still in the miracle business. Am I right?
Amen.
Am I right? Man, I hope so. I hope we truly believe that. I hope we truly celebrate that. I hope that when people see us, that we're not boring people. That we got a hope and energy that is stored here, that is filled up here by our presence of knowing that God has touched us, redeemed us. Can you imagine being a person for 12 years dealing with an ailment that defined you, limited you? You couldn't just go out every weekend. You had to maintain what you ate. You couldn't sleep at night. That it just overwhelmed you and depression just was there. And for that to be alleviated, gone, can you imagine this? How much you would want to celebrate? How much you would want to live? How much you would want to do from this point on? I think the same thing goes on once we realize that sin has no more power upon us. That we're redeemed. That we're free from it. That we have a home with God. And every day we wake up is a new day to experience what God has in store for us. And what I love about this is God goes through the depression with us. He goes through the hopelessness with us. He restores us if we allow Him. Some of us, I think, just need to touch Jesus' cloak. Just need to understand that His touch is real, that it's redeeming, that it's loving, that it's filled with new life, that we are not bound by our circumstances. Our hang-ups, our hook-ups, our addictions don't have to define us. If we reach out to Jesus, He redeems us. He gives us new life, a new understanding. And see, we live in this world that's so broken that they don't even know where to go for spiritual needs anymore. Do you realize that? Let me let that sink in for a second. They need to understand we, church, are the answer to their spiritual needs. And I'm not saying that we are going to save them, but we have the answer to it, do we not? Do we understand that Jesus has come in and changed our lives and changed who we are? That we are no longer bored, that we are no longer defined by the successes of this world, that we are no longer defined by what we have and what we don't have, but we are defined by Jesus Christ, who has changed us, redeemed us, and given us a new life? And if we truly believe that, if we truly believe that, man, we should be world changers. We should be in our neighborhoods. We should be with people that we work. We should be people that are the ones that they search for the answers for their life's issues. And what I mean by that is that they look to you and go, how is your life so different from mine? And what's awesome is this. Listen, I said it a couple of minutes ago. I have done things. I have said things that I have totally regret. I live a broken life. But what's awesome and amazing about my life is that it's totally redeemed by Jesus Christ. All right? And that makes me no different. Hear this. That makes us no different from anybody else. And when I live out in this world and they see something different in me, they see a joy. They see that I'm not bound by the circumstances that I live in. And they ask, do you know what they're doing in that moment? Is they're reaching out and trying to touch Jesus. They're reaching out wanting to hear the story of redemption. They want to know what you have and how you've been changed and how your attitude is one of love, one of like going, hey, God's got this. One of joy when there shouldn't be any joy. Right? They need to look to you for the spiritual answers. They need to look to you and go, I need to touch Jesus, and you be the cloak of Jesus. Church, we are called to be the living embrace, living embodiment of who Jesus is and how he transformed us by the touch on our heart. So when we touch out into our society, we're showing more of Jesus and less of ourselves. Do you understand that? That means how you act, how you speak, how you are angry, how you're frustrated. Can you show Jesus in those moments? Can you be the touch? Let me also empower you this, church. I understand a lot of us live in a moment of just depression, a moment of frustration, a moment feeling like we don't have the answers. I want you to know Jesus is standing right next to you, ready to call you out and go, who touched me? You're free of all that. He's waiting for you. He will always be waiting for you. He will always offer the resolution to whatever you're going through. And this is what's awesome. Not all of us are going to be redeemed of our medical issues. Not all of us are going to feel 100% and not depressed anymore. But what Jesus offers, what I love, this story was preceded by him being in the storm. And calm in the storm, right? Jesus is willing to be in the storms of life with you. To hurt with you. To carry your burdens. And I believe, church, that we are to do the same. What I've learned is we're not necessarily to have the answers to correct people, but we have the answer for a new life for people. And that new life, this is awesome. My call is completely different from your call. The way that I've come to Jesus is completely different from the way that you're going to come to Jesus or your neighbor's going to come to Jesus. We just have to be available to him. And there's two questions I want to ask you today. Two questions. Do you need to touch Jesus? Maybe this is the morning that you do. Maybe you need to be restored. Maybe you need to be have a new reign on life. Maybe you need to just know that there's a joy and a sense of why we are here and a sense of why we live. Jesus, if you touch him, he will stop and he will call your name. He will redeem you. That's one question. Second question. Are you ready to be the church that Jesus wants to use for people to touch his presence? Are you ready to answer the call? Are you ready to go out and be the one that shows that there's a joy in the senses when there feels like there shouldn't be? Are you ready to exemplify God's love that he has for this world? That he loved them so much that he gave who? He gave his only son. This is the cool thing. 1 John 4 says this. We love. Now listen to this. It's really simple, but it's really hard for us sometimes to understand. 1 John 4:19 says this. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Are you loving? Do you understand that he loves you? And in that, he has called us to love. It goes the other way, too. Are you loving? Because he's loving you. Today is an opportunity to do that. Today is an opportunity to reach out and touch somebody that needs Jesus' touch, that needs to know they are loved. And I know this is what's awesome. I know God has probably put somebody on your heart. I know that God has probably put somebody on your mind. And this week, as you pray, as you strive closer to God this week, pray for that person. Pray that God gives you an opportunity to love them the way that he has called you to love them. Because he loves you. All right? Let's pray. Generally, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be up here, to worship you, to be drawing closer to you. Lord, today may it be a new moment where we feel your touch. We've reached out, we grab your clothes, and we say, please, Lord, redeem us. Heal me. Lord, give me a reason to live. Give me a reason to be here. Lord, I just need you. Lord, may you answer that call. May we feel that call. May we know how much you love us. Today, Lord, may we become the church that goes out to our community and reaches those who are broken. They may think they have everything. They have the success, they have the business, they have the job, they got all the money, but they're empty. Lord, may we be the answer. May we go and show them that they are loved by you. May we love people the way you have loved us. May we live out 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for the meal that we're about to eat. Lord, may you bless this time. May you bless the fellowship. May we have a fun time playing games. May we enjoy meeting new people this morning. Lord, may we connect as a church. May we connect with our community because you've connected with us. We give you all the praise. Amen. All right. You guys hungry?
Yeah.
All right. A little bit louder on that one. I like it. All right.
Yeah.
We got, you'll start your line over there for the food. I know Kono Ice is going to be here later. Make sure you're registered. We have some door prizes. We're going to have some games. All the kids are welcome to be over there in the game area. Please sit with people that you haven't met before.